Tuesday, March 16, broadcast of the Calvary Hour. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for tuning in to the Calvary Hour. I'm Bill Wingard, your host speaker. We're in Revelation chapter 3, as we're studying the characteristics of the seven churches in Asia Minor that God led John to write to. I also personally believe that these churches represent a different segment of the church age, defining the church age as being activated at Pentecost and then continuing until the rapture of the church. We are now looking at the church at Philadelphia, the second of the two churches in the seven churches that were not rebuked by the Lord. The first church that was not rebuked was the church at Smyrna. They had suffered so much. Here at the church at Philadelphia, we'll see that they were not being rebuked. They were really an obedient church. This is the kind of church I want Calvary to be. This is the kind of church I want all of God's churches to be. Let's read about it now. And to the angel, or to the messenger of the church in Philadelphia, write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and no man openeth. Wow, let's look at these characteristics of this one who is speaking. Now, we never did really go back in this series of messages to see who's doing the speaking. We know it's the Lord Jesus Christ, but let's just quickly run back to Revelation chapter 1 as John receives this message, and we'll break into the text, but we'll take nothing out of the context. In Revelation chapter 1 and beginning in verse 10, John, who was exiled on the Isle of Patmos, he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira and unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. Now we're looking at the Philadelphia church, and God willing, we'll continue on into the church at Laodicea. But John says, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girded about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned with a furnace, and his voice was as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. The word angelos means angel or messenger, and I believe in this particular case, the messengers were the pastors of those churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. And so when the Lord speaks about removing a candlestick out of its place, he's referring to moving a church out of its place. Well, with that in mind, now let's go back to Philadelphia. We saw where Philadelphia was in the roll call of the seven churches. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I want us to take a few minutes now on today's broadcast to look at these characteristics and capabilities of our Lord Jesus Christ. The first attribute we see here of him is one that we must never forget. These things saith he that is holy. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. What a wonderful God we have, a holy God. You know, there's some who try to compare the Lord God Jehovah with the gods of other people, but dear friend, that's wrong. He said, I am the Lord and there's none else. And the prime characteristic of Jehovah God is that he is holy. And I'll tell you, that is a wonderful, wonderful attribute. In him is no sin. By the way, he cannot sin. The Bible makes it clear that God cannot sin. And certainly, that being true, he will not sin. In him is no sin. We serve a holy God. So first of all, these things saith he that is holy. And secondly, he that is true. I'm glad for that, aren't you? I'm glad our Lord is true. He's true to his word. He's true to his promise. He's true to his bride, the church. He's true to himself. He's true to this world. By the way, just as he is true in his promises to rapture the church and to have us with him throughout eternity, he is also true in having to pronounce judgments against those who are not saved. And by the way, God doesn't have any pleasure in the death of the wicked. Some people, they just make such terrible accusations against the Lord. They act like he wants them to go to hell. Nothing could be further from the truth. God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And by the way, in that while we were yet sinners, God gave his Son for our sins. It wasn't when we got better, because we never did. It wasn't because we were worthy, because we have not been worthy. We're not worthy now, and we never would be worthy. It was nothing but the pure, absolute love and grace of God that would cause God to become flesh and that he would die for us. He is holy, and the Bible makes that clear. And he is true, and I'm so glad for that great attribute of God as well. Now, he that hath the key of David. And if you're familiar with the scripture, you know that David was in the lineage of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I want to quickly read to you from Luke chapter 20, a few verses here concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and his relationship to David, David's relationship to Christ. Beginning in verse 39. Now, this is after some spies had come in and infiltrated. They were trying to trip up the Lord Jesus Christ, the scribes and the Pharisees. And of course, he answered all of their questions. Then certain of the scribes answering said, Master, thou hast well said. And after that, they durst not ask him any question at all. And he said unto them, now the scene changes. He's asking them a question. But the point is his relationship with David. How say they that Christ is David's son? For David himself saith in the book of Psalms, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. David therefore called him Lord. How is he then his son? After this, the Lord rebuked those who were trying to trip him up and were so deceitful. The point I want to share with you today is simply this, that He here reveals that Jesus Christ reveals concerning himself that he is the Son of God and God the Son. And you know what I say to that? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He has the key of David. And God willing, on the next broadcast, we're going to be looking at him, same one, Christ, who opens doors that no man can close. And he closes doors, by the way, that no man can open. What a Savior. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Father, thank you that we serve such a wonderful Lord. And I thank you that he does indeed have the key of David. And that thou art holy. Thou art God. And we thank you for the privilege to be saved and serve thee. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Well, I trust you're looking forward to another good day in the Lord today. My desire is that he'll be pleased to make each of us a channel of his blessing. May we be able to sow the precious seed, to water the seed where it's been sown, and hopefully to reap the harvest. The Lord gave the word, and great was the company of those that published it. Please join us next broadcast if you can.